Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, I became finally pregnant in 2018, and I'm now finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. This season of the Finally Pregnant podcast is sponsored by Tomorrow Life Sciences. Ever wondered how and where your frozen eggs and embryos are stored? They are kept in tanks called dewars. Inside each tank, hundreds of eggs and embryos are submerged in liquid nitrogen. They're identified with tiny handwritten or printed labels, and the clinic manages and monitors them manually. This part of the IVF lab hasn't been updated in decades and also hasn't benefited from technology or innovation. That's where life sciences company Tomorrow comes in. Tomorrow has created the world's first and only automated platform for the management, identification, and storage of frozen human eggs and embryos. What does this mean? Tomorrow's technology replaces handwritten labels with sophisticated digital tracking, which creates an unbreakable digital link between the specimens and the patient. It also automates a huge part of the process, vastly reducing the risk of mistakes and human error. Finally, it monitors the safety of those frozen eggs and embryos 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Tomorrow's state-of-the-art technology gives patients and clinics peace of mind that those precious, irreplaceable frozen eggs and embryos are safe and protected. Tomorrow is being rapidly adopted by a host of clinics across the United States, creating a new and improved standard of care, and will be available in clinics in the UK this year. To find out more, visit tmrw.org. Links in the show notes. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of this series. Did you listen to my chat last week with Amber? I hope you did. And if you did, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, why not drop me a little rating and review right now while you're listening to this episode? Go on. Why not? Here's a review from someone who did just that, and I genuinely massively appreciate it. What they said was, "This is such a great podcast for anyone who's experienced infertility or pregnancy loss and now finds themselves pregnant. But equally, I think the insight it offers into what it's like to be finally pregnant is really important, even for those who may not have firsthand experience of some of the issues discussed. Kat is an engaging and welcoming interviewer, and there have been so many moments where I've nodded vigorously along. Even though I've now had a baby, I still find the conversations interesting and the sense of solidarity is really lovely. It's so comforting to know you're not alone." Thank you so much, and thank you if you are heading over to leave me a review now. So I'm recording this episode, or, you know, this preamble, a little ahead of time as we are going on holiday. All being well, my fingers are crossed as I speak. So we will just have got back when this episode lands. So yeah, getting myself organized. We're off to the Canaries and it is our first holiday since COVID and only the second one since having Ren, because we took her away when she was just 3 months old. We all went to Crete. It's fab going away with her, but I have to say, I am particularly looking forward to this one because now that she's almost three, she'll be able to enjoy it so much more herself. You know, the pool and the weather and just lots of fun stuff. It is true that holidays with little ones aren't quite the holidays of days gone by, but you know what? I'm okay with that. Plus, top tip, if one can afford it, and like ours is not fancy, please don't get me wrong, but we have booked a suite. And what that means is, this is the theory anyway, we put Ren to bed in the bedroom and we can still move around in the rest of the room. Like, who am I kidding? I will probably be going to bed with her, but fingers crossed, there might be a night or two where Bob and I can share a glass of wine. Well, maybe share a bottle, you know, or at least have a glass each. Just have a nice evening together while Ren is snoozing next door. Anyway, enough about that, because what I really want to do is introduce you to today's guest, Shannon, who I came across on Instagram at shans_story_, links in the show notes. Shannon shares all the ups and downs of pregnancy after IVF, and her story particularly resonated with me because she very sadly lost one of the twins she was expecting early on in her pregnancy. Now, for those who may not know about our story, the pregnancy that gave us Ren started out as an identical twin pregnancy, but unfortunately we lost Ren's twin at 10 weeks. So a lot of the complex emotions that Shannon is talking about on her Instagram are things that I have experienced myself. And I just, you know, want to say a huge thank you to her for sharing, because lots of people contact me and say that this is happening to them, but people don't talk about it and they, you know, they feel really lonely. So the more of us that do share, like with all of this, it's just, it's really, really very special. Whatever your experience of being finally pregnant, finding a place where you belong, and this is something we talk about within the episode, and where you can share the challenges, but also the celebrations, is so important. As you will hear, Shannon is working with a doula to help support her emotional needs. But if you can't stretch to that, please, please know that I run regular finally pregnant support groups as part of my Hangout community. And that is just $9.99 a month. And you get loads more, you know, it's not just the support groups, but the support groups are a space where you can talk to people experiencing similar things. And it's a really, really special place to be. I also run finally pregnant yoga and Pilates courses. And at the start of them, we have a check-in so that everyone can share again how they're feeling. It really gives an opportunity for you to be and to feel heard and to find people who you share this common ground with. So don't just take my word for it, though. I want to read a little testimonial from someone who has joined us through our finally pregnant yoga. They said, "I'm not sure if it's just me, but after being discharged from my clinic and told it's just like a normal pregnancy from here, I couldn't have felt less normal. The thought of no more appointments, check-ins, etc. made me feel anxious. The space that Kat has created weekly has grounded me each Wednesday and put me in the same virtual room as ladies who understand. It's such an open space, and hearing from ladies who are just starting their pregnancy or who are near the end has been the best experience and full of so much love. To have a space where those of us who are finally pregnant and can be there for each other in ways that other family and friends don't really understand has been the perfect pregnancy accompaniment for me." Oh, that's just, like, I've read that before, but it's just so, so special to read it. And a huge thanks to Sim and Nikki, who are the yoga and Pilates teachers that I work with to create these spaces. If you want to find out more about that or anything, head to the show notes. All the information is on my website, www.catstrawbridge.com. But that's totally enough from me. I am going to hand over to the conversation that I had with Shannon. You take care. Bye-bye. Before we head into today's chat, I want to remind you just how important it can be to talk and share our stories with people who get it. That's just one of the reasons I created this very podcast. And you already know how important that is, because you're here to listen to people whose experiences you relate to. But I want to give everyone the opportunity to talk, and that is just one of the reasons I launched The Hangout, a community specifically for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. When you join, you'll receive a free meditation, access to a 24/7 community, invitations to exclusive live podcast recordings with experts across all areas of pregnancy and parenting, a full and growing resource library, support groups, discounts, and more. Find out more at catstrawbridge.com. I look forward to seeing you there soon. Hi there, Shannon. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. As I said in the preamble, I have been following you for a while, and it was specifically when you started sharing about, or I noticed that you were sharing about having lost one of your twins, which is something I'm incredibly sorry to have heard. And I do, unfortunately, you know, kind of understand the complex feelings that come with that, having experienced it myself. But it will be really amazing for those who are perhaps new to you, if you could share a little bit about your journey to pregnancy, a bit about who you are and what you do. That would be great.
Of course. Thank you for having me. So our journey started in 2017 when we were in Canada. We started trying for a baby, wasn't working, no tests were, you know, positive. So finally, a lot of people were saying, oh, you're young still, but like my gut told me, just go, which I'm so glad I did. And went to the fertility clinic. Our tests came back okay. My husband's side, there was a bit of an abnormal, nothing that like rang any bells or anything. So we did one round of a trigger shot, didn't work, kept trying. And then we had the opportunity to move out to Abu Dhabi. So we stopped trying for a little bit. And then the pandemic hit, of course, which brought another just huge, I would say, bump in our journey for a lot of people. So pandemic hit, we're trying, but there's all this uncertainties and we wanted to go to a clinic, but everything was kind of closed down at the time. So we'd been trying again for a while. In 2021, so last January, we decided to see it as someone at a clinic here. And we got some more answers. And we found out that we had a very, very low chance of getting pregnant naturally. It may never happen. So we decided to jump into IVF. I had my egg retrieval in March last year, so March 2021. We retrieved 8 eggs. 7 were fertilized, and at the end of it all, we ended up with 3 full-blown babies. Another little bump hit, and we weren't able to do our transfer. It had to be canceled. We had planned to transfer in the summer, and then that didn't work out again either. And then we did our transfer in November of 2022. Sorry, 21. I'm getting my years mixed up now. And yeah, that brings us to now. I found out I was pregnant in December. We implanted 2 embryos, and to our surprise, both had stuck, which I didn't expect. Now, there's a possibility. They said it was early, but they said, you know, it's a twin pregnancy. And then by week 8, we found out that we lost one of our twins, which was absolutely heartbreaking. So it's been quite the journey for us.
It really has, hasn't it? And for, you know, kind of moving countries is a big thing anyway, isn't it? And navigating a whole new kind of fertility world in a different country that, you know, where you're not used to, that's in itself, you know, fairly challenging. And then obviously the pandemic, which you rightly said has affected so many people. And it, like, we delayed treatment because the clinics here were closed, and it's just had such an impact, hasn't it? And on pregnancy as well, and the availability, or, you know, kind of the possibility for people to go to scans with a birthing partner or with a partner or friend. So it has, that's been a lot. And as you say, kind of cancellations and of transfers, and it kind of, in some ways, it prepares us for what is to come, you know, because we just don't know what is to come ever, do we? It's just really, really difficult to navigate as we go along. It's amazing that you got pregnant. And I remember when we found out we were pregnant, so we had transferred 1 embryo. And so there was an identical twin pregnancy. And it's just like, it's shock, isn't it? When you found out that you actually, there's 2 of them. Like, what did you think at that point?
At that point, when she had said that both had stuck, I was just, you know, over the moon and felt so like blessed and grateful, because I went into this with like a guarded heart, because I did know the stats, but I mean, I was hopeful and I was positive. But so when she said there was 2, it was just like, oh my gosh, like this is such a blessing. Like, and then, you know, you start picturing yourself having two little ones, all those visions start to come flowing in. And I was trying to protect myself so much from it, but you just have those feelings and those, and like, you know, emotions are just coming naturally to you. So it was difficult finding out that we lost, you know, the twin. Yeah. Because when you can't get pregnant and you've been trying for, you know, it was 4 years for us, she was just like, oh my goodness, we have two now. Like, this could be it. And yeah, and we're so grateful we have one, but that doesn't change the fact that we had lost.
Yeah. Eight. Yeah. Yeah, I know that I had started listening to twin podcasts and, you know, just really kind of settling into that idea. And it's like with any loss, it's the loss of the memories you've already created in your head, isn't it? You know, and then there is, you know, I mentioned earlier on the complexities. It's a juxtaposition, isn't it, between being so grateful because you're pregnant. And then also mourning a miscarriage, you know, at the same time. I remember standing in front of one of my sisters the day we found out. And I was like, I am right where I wanted to be. I am pregnant with a healthy baby. And yet I'm stood here heartbroken and it's still so hard. And that's just so unfair. Like, if you're comfortable doing it, I know that this is incredibly raw. You are pregnant right now. Yeah. For me, it was a few years ago. So I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that and how it felt.
It's very conflicting because, like, I'm so grateful, beyond grateful to be pregnant. And yet here I am dealing with a miscarriage at the same time. So I was torn a lot. And I still am. I'm still, you know, grieving. Grief is not linear. It definitely is. It's all over the place. That's for sure. There's even the guilt that I felt. I felt guilt for being sometimes happy because, you know, like you're trying to balance out the sad and the happy, and it's like guilt comes into play. Or I would be feeling sad and then feeling guilty about feeling sad because I should be happy. So it bounces around a lot, I find, the emotions. Emotionally, it's very draining, and you do need a lot of support and, you know, taking care of yourself because mentally it's exhausting.
Yeah. When I did post about it after the event, once we'd got to 12 weeks and we had lost our twin at 10 weeks, I'd given myself a bit of time to kind of process. And we hadn't actually told anyone we were expecting twins at the time. But when I did share, it's amazing how often this does happen to people, isn't it? And I know with IVF pregnancies, because often two embryos are put back, you know, there is going to be a higher rate of twin pregnancies. But it is amazing kind of how, and horrible, how kind of, I don't want to say the word common, but how often it does actually happen, because loads of people reached out to me. And you know, one of the things, and I don't know if I said this to you in our DMs, but one of the things that really had crossed my mind was, oh, you know, because you feel like twins have such a connection, you know, when you meet them and you hear them talking, and historically, like whether it be on the TV or, you know, whenever there's that messaging around twins, it is that they're kind of really interlinked. And I remember thinking, gosh, is she going to know, you know, that there was part of her that isn't here anymore? And someone reached out to me at the time and said I was the twin, the surviving twin, and it's never impacted me, you know, in my life. You know, my parents told me about it, but it's never had any impact. And for me, and the reason I'm sharing that is it was really comforting for me to hear that, because I was really worried about Ren, as we now know her, being lonely. So like for you and for anyone out there, I guess, who might be experiencing that, I hope that that is of some comfort. How have you been kind of physically and everything in your pregnancy, obviously bar that loss?
Physically, I've been okay. It's just been more like, you know, emotionally getting through all of what we had to get through. And I also found the ultrasounds to be very hard because you could see the other sac for the longest time. And in the beginning, I was unsure if I really wanted to see the other sac until one time the doctor did. He showed me and he kind of talked me through it, and I could still see the twin there. It was starting to, you know, vanish, as they say, the vanishing twin syndrome. And he kind of just talked me through it. But even I'm looking at a picture right now. I've got one framed of both of them together, which I do keep up on my shelf. Because I do believe I need to honor that twin as well. And I will tell, you know, our little boy about his twin.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And your little boy. So you know that you're having a little boy. Did you know that you would always want to find out, or?
Yeah, we always wanted to find out. So yeah, it was two boys.
Yeah.
So it was twin boys that we were expecting. We did find out the gender of the other twin that we had lost.
And you know that because you know the gender of your embryos, or you knew the gender of your embryos. Is that right? Is that a standard thing?
So we did the testing, the genetic testing on our embryos. Cool. Yes. So we did find out that it was two boys and one girl that we had. We wanted it to be a surprise. We didn't want to know what two embryos were being inserted, transferred. We did want it to be a surprise as to, we wanted to do a gender reveal, et cetera. So.
And I love one of your gender reveals, because I know that you've done a couple on your Instagram because your family live abroad and that kind of thing. But I love when you and your other half did it on the beach, and he runs a boxing gym? He punched a pad, I guess that's the word, isn't it? and the blue dust kind of came out of it, which was amazing. That's really special. Gender reveals are a big, big thing now, aren't they? And like, big as in there's so much variety, and it's really fun, isn't it? So that was a really nice way for you to do it. I loved it. And then you shared with your family and recorded that. How was that? And especially because they are kind of distant, and I guess especially because of the pandemic, you probably haven't seen them for a long time.
No, it's been hard because we haven't been able to be back home since we've left. So this whole journey, I do have my mom and my sister that live here in Abu Dhabi, but a lot of our other family and my husband's family live back in Canada. So it's been difficult going through all this, you know, not having them here. We do communicate a lot, obviously, online, but we wanted to make the gender reveals. We wanted to make them feel that they're really part of it. So we arranged a gender reveal for back home and my sister that lives in Canada. So, yeah, we did a little something for them. We made videos, but yeah, it's difficult when you don't have family, like when you're abroad.
Yeah, you can't have that kind of immediacy. Well, though, I guess one thing that has come out of the pandemic is we are that much more connected, aren't we, online than ever we were before. Even if we were good before, we're even better now, which kind of makes the world a smaller place, but not the same necessarily as being in the same room as them, of course. Just sticking with gender for one moment and going back to the twin loss. So you talked about finding out what, so you didn't know at the time, you knew. Well, I guess, how did that work? Because did you know that you were having a boy once you had lost the twin? Was that after that? And then you found out what the twin's gender was?
So we found out that I call him our sunrise baby. Our sunrise baby.
I love that.
Yeah. So we found out our sunrise baby was a boy at 18 weeks, I believe. And then it was after that I started thinking, I wanted to know what the twin was that we had lost. And I think we already mentioned this, because I had three embryos, I called the fertility clinic 2 weeks ago and I asked what the remaining gender was that we had frozen. And it's a girl. So that's how we found out that it was a boy.
Yeah. And I just remember watching your stories and I was thinking, gosh, would I want to know? Wouldn't I want to know? Because odds were identical. We know that it would have been a girl. And sometimes that makes it harder. I'll be honest, you know, it really does. But I think that knowing that information was available to me, I can't imagine not finding out. And as we talked about just before we hit record, if you do try again and you know kind of, yeah, that embryo is a girl, by the power of elimination, you would at some point, you would probably know, wouldn't you? You would have found out.
Yeah. And for me, I think it was just the next step for me in the grieving process. I just needed to know for myself. It's helped me, I think, heal a bit more. We've given him a name, mm-hmm. and we will tell him about his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh, it's so difficult. And yet, you know, you're sat here, is it 18 weeks pregnant? With your little boy?
I am now, I'll be 23 on Tuesday.
23 weeks. Gosh, you're heading fast into towards the third trimester. Talk to me about kind of what you've done, you know, how you've been embracing this pregnancy.
So the beginning, obviously, first trimester was really hard. I was actually really nauseous and really dizzy, and I had the loss. So then the emotional part of it was exhausting, and it was already exhausted enough. And then second trimester, I got my energy back. I've been doing a lot of healing. So I do a lot of reading. I have had to set boundaries. I've learned how to do that and just really take care of myself. I do a lot of working out. I find that emotionally helps me. So I'll go to the gym, even if I'm just walking on the treadmill slowly. I just find getting those endorphins going has really helped to bring my mood up. When you're not feeling well and you're kind of just sitting around, it can make your mind sort of just race a little bit more. So for me, exercise has been a big part of second trimester for me, which has really helped.
Yeah, it really does. And I've been learning recently about kind of positive feedback cycles. And when we do one thing positive, it helps us do the next thing positive. And, so it really, if we can get ourselves into that cycle and help support ourselves, and it's nurturing, isn't it? And you talked about boundaries. What kind of boundaries have you been putting in place?
Just emotionally, who I surround myself with. Mm-hmm. I just sort of preserve, that positive energy now. For myself, I don't want that negativity in my life. So I just been sort of setting boundaries with even just certain people, posts on Instagram and things like that. I want to be surrounded with positivity, because I do use Instagram a lot to connect with this community. It's helped so much, and it's really been a huge outlet for me. That's why I share what I've been going through. For me, it's an outlet, and it really does help with the healing process. And I've had so many people reach out to me and thank me. And that's one of the reasons why I do it. And we'll have conversations together. Yeah. And it's really healing.
Yeah. For anyone who isn't on Instagram and they're listening to this, I can't stress enough how amazing the community there is. I don't know whether you talked about your fertility journey on Instagram prior to your pregnancy, but how has it been with other people that who are trying? Once you got pregnant, how have those relationships how have you been managing them?
I find I still talk to a lot of them as well. I find once you're in this community, it's just the connection you have with people, it's so strong. Even going back to when I was going through the 2-week wait, I actually shared my first pee stick with a stranger on Instagram. We were actually transfer buddies. We were going through transfer. I think she was about 3 days ahead of me. So we were very much going through it at the same time. And I actually shared my test with her before I shared it with anyone else. And it seems so weird to say that, but the connections that you build, they're just amazing. So we're kind of going back and forth. And how do you feel today? And it was nice to share that with someone. And someone that I have never met in person or anything, and she's across the world. But the connections you make is just amazing.
They're really special, aren't they? I know that lots of people talk to me about kind of having survivor's guilt when they get pregnant and other people around them that they're in the community with don't. And it's a really difficult thing to navigate. And, how much do I share? Because ultimately we all want to be in this position, don't we? We all want to be pregnant. We want everyone who's trying to kind of catch up with us. We kind of want to all do it together, don't we? And it can be a really difficult thing to navigate. But it sounds like you're kind of navigating that really well, which is really, really wonderful to hear.
For me as well, I found it when I lost the twin a little bit confusing as to where I was in the community, because now I'm pregnant, but I'm also, going through a miscarriage at the same time. And I felt divided almost. I just didn't know what side, not that there's really sides, but it just felt, okay, I'm pregnant. I should be embracing this. And I'm also going through this at the same time. So yeah, that was difficult to navigate and feel.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any support where you are, kind of locally? Are there any organizations or charities or groups that you have found useful for support?
I joined a Facebook group, and that's sort of how I even picked my IVF clinic and everything. I was talking to a lot of women on there. But as far as the loss and what I'm going through right now, I haven't really joined any support groups or communities.
Okay. And what about for your pregnancy and kind of supporting your pregnancy and finding out, like, what the hell do we do now? Yeah. How have you been working that out, I guess?
Yeah. So same thing. And actually, I just contacted a doula. So I'm going to be joining a 4-week course and, you know, with other moms in the community. And she is also offering support with the different emotions that I'm going through with the miscarriage. So that's we're starting that next week, which is going to be very helpful for me because, yeah, I still have that guilt and those different emotions. So I think we need to work on. Sometimes I keep them inside, I find. I'm trying to be too strong in a way. Mm-hmm. And I just need to let more of those, you know, emotions out.
Yeah. And hopefully she'll be able to provide that safe space where you feel like you can do that and absolutely kind of almost begin to start the real processing of that grief. I went to a grief workshop, actually, a grief yoga workshop during my pregnancy, which was really beautiful, organized by the most amazing woman, Avni. And that was really quite important to me. And I did see a counselor actually during my pregnancy about something completely different, but we absolutely ended up talking about losing the twin and that kind of thing. So this is like putting you on the spot and we might get tumbleweed. So I'm wondering if I should ask this, but is there anything, having been through this before, I guess, is there anything that you would like to ask? One thing that I remember thinking that was, oh gosh, is this going to really affect my birth? That kind of thing. Am I going to always feel like there's something missing? I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm constantly questioning in my mind. Yeah, am I always going to feel like there is something missing? Mm. Which is a huge, huge question that I've been asking myself. And I'm hoping once I start, you know, doing a little bit of therapy and counseling with this doula, and sort of digging deeper into this, because I have been trying to be, I think, too strong sometimes, like I said, and keeping some of the emotions down and be strong for the baby, you know, the baby that I am carrying. Not that I don't cry, and I do, but I just think there's more that needs to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And often people look at us, I think, and think, well, you're still pregnant. You're still having a baby, you know? So that's kind of the important thing. And absolutely it is the important thing. But there is still the baby that you're not having now. And we do need to focus on that. For me, I was really nervous about the birth and thinking that there would be something missing. And it didn't. And I appreciate we are all individuals. It's going to be different for everyone. It didn't impact that at all. I don't even think it really crossed my mind at that point. And obviously, well, maybe not obviously, actually. That's, yeah, not the right thing to say there. But people may or may not realize that with a multiple pregnancy, it's a higher risk pregnancy. So having, you know, it become a singleton pregnancy made it a safer, lower risk pregnancy, which is one positive to take out from it, I guess, if we're kind of looking for silver linings, so to speak. But it's not the times that I expect it to cross my mind. And it doesn't cross my mind a lot. But there are moments. And I was with a friend just the other day who lost twins, actually. And we were talking about this because we saw two lots of girl twins. And if I see girl twins, I will always think, obviously, a friend's twin and what could have been. And we were talking about it. And there was someone else that we know who has had twins. And, you know, kind of it's amazing that she's had twins, and shared about all the things that people say. And it's things like that that can get to you. But I have to say, 9 times out of 10, like, my focus is Ren. My focus is my daughter. And it isn't something that affects me kind of day to day, which is hopefully kind of good to hear. But yeah, definitely the therapy will definitely be a positive kind of step forward for you. And it's amazing that you are getting a doula. Is that a fairly common thing where you are, or? Well, like, I guess, what's the healthcare like, really? Because it would all be private, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's all private. For me, what I like is, you know, doulas focus more on the emotions, and that's really what I want to, you know, focus on and get some of this, because I do have anxiety, because I do worry. That's been a big thing, too. I don't know if I mentioned it. Because I have the loss, it's always worrying about the one that I have, which has been a huge, you know, trigger for me. So that's been what I really want to work on with the doula. But yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, do use doulas, but everything is private here. So
I know that some hospitals, but I don't know exactly what areas are female only. Is that right?
There are certain hospitals, yeah, that are female only.
But not all of them.
No, not all.
No. Oh, so there is a choice. Good. That well, good, you know, because people, yeah, should be given the choice ultimately. Whichever choice they make is completely up to them. But that's nice to hear that there is a choice. One can decide.
Yeah. Because when you brought that up, it reminded me. So yeah, because, you know, it's culturally different here. The day of the transfer, I had no idea my husband couldn't come to the floor that the transfer was on.
Right.
He did the PCR testing, did everything. We were so excited to go do it together. And then we got there and they said he's not allowed to go on the floor where the procedure is done. And I didn't even think to ask that question. But yeah, so there is a lot of culturally, you know, different things here.
Yeah, which is another thing that you've had to kind of work through. So yeah, you've worked hard for this pregnancy, haven't you? But it's amazing that you are, as we say, heading towards your third trimester. And I know, I can't remember, I'm trying to think what you said on your stories today about, oh, like the 12 days of Christmas for Amazon baby parcels. Just like embracing all of that. And you've got your pregnancy pillow. And I know that your nutrition is a big thing as well, which is really important, and keeping moving. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing, because your Instagram is amazing. Amazing. And it's Shans_story_, is that right?
Yes.
And the link will be in the show notes so people can come and find you, because it is so important to talk about how difficult pregnancy can be. It's wonderful. It's absolutely incredible, but it can be hard as well, especially with all the different kind of complications that we can be faced with. So thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you.
And I will speak to you soon. Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.